This is Espanglisher, a podcast of musings and chat from a lingua, logo, biblio, anglo, hispanophile. We'll be talking about words, language, and culture. So with no further ado, enjoy. Hi there, and welcome back to Espanglisher. Now, last week, we had an interview with my lovely niece, Natalie, relating to travel and transport. And this week, I thought I'd have a look a little bit at some words and phrases relating to that topic, to travel and transport, if that's okay. So the first thing I'd like to do is just have a look at the differences between a few words. And those words are travel, trip, voyage, journey, and travels with an S. They can be a little bit confusing for English learners. So just to kind of clarify a little bit. So travel, we tend to use as a verb. Now it can be used as a noun. So travel broadens the mind, for example, you know, travel as an abstract concept. And you can also put it in plural, travels. So I had a great time on my travels. Normally, you're referring to a period of time when you've traveled a lot. Maybe you've gone on a tour. Maybe you've gone on an adventure for a year. So you can use it as a noun. But as far as teaching goes, I tend to tell students to avoid using it as a noun, because it can be confusing, so kind of stick to it as a verb. It comes, interestingly, from the French word travail, which is, I think it's pronounced like that, which is work. So it kind of comes from the sense of the fact that travel in the olden days was very arduous, very hard work to actually get around to other places, because obviously transport was not as developed as it is nowadays. So that would be travel, whereas trip we use as a noun, apart from when we mean falling over. So to go on a trip could be anything, could be long, could be short, but it kind of includes the whole thing, doesn't it? It includes the getting to the place, the time that you spend there, and coming back. It's kind of like the whole thing. If we want to talk about a short trip, we might say a day trip or an excursion, you know, like a school trip, those types of things. We might say an excursion or a day trip. A trip doesn't have to be short, which is what a lot of language learners kind of think, that a trip has to be short. No, it doesn't. It can be long as well. There's also some confusion sometimes with the word journey. The journey is kind of the period of getting from A to B. It's the time that you are actually traveling. Coming as well, there's a word in Spanish which is jornada, which means like a working day. Journée in French as well, but journey in English is not that. Journey is the traveling time. But it comes from the same roots, doesn't it? You know, journey in English comes from the idea of the travel of a day, the travel that you would do in one day. And then we have a voyage. So a voyage is journey, let's say, normally over water. So like a sea voyage, you know, the old explorers would do a sea voyage, a voyage of discovery. And again, it does have a root in that kind of the Latin-based word in Spanish. You have viaje, V-I-A-J-E, comes from the Latin, which was, it was used to talk about the provisions that you would need to travel, to make a journey. And you can see in viaje as well, via, V-I-A, which is like a way or a path, and voyage kind of has morphed from that into the word we have in English now. So yeah, I just wanted to kind of try to clarify those differences. I don't know if I've done it very well, but hopefully it's a little bit clearer. So moving on to some methods of transport, I was looking into the roots of some methods of transport, the roots of the words, one of them being aeroplane. And you can see the way that it's split up. So the aero part being the air, obviously, and plane coming from, I think this one is Greek. Plane is like level. And it's also connected to the meaning of soar, S-O-A-R, like a bird will soar. And when they soar, they don't bat their wings. So that idea of planing, you can also say that in English. In Spanish, the word plano means flat or level. But yeah, the aeroplanos, the ancient Greek, kind of literally means wandering in the air. I don't know if I would like to get on a plane that's just wandering around in the air, but that's the route. You've also got kind of more modern things like the scooter. Clearly, well, I think clearly in English, just coming from the word scoot, which means kind of to move quickly. So you get on your scooter, you hop on your scooter, and you can buzz around the town quickly. The electric scooters that you see on the streets these days kind of give me the heebie-jeebies a little bit, because they swerve in and out of traffic. You're never quite sure where they're coming from. They're not super easy to spot. You know, they might be in your blind spot. So scooter riders, please take care. And drivers as well, be aware of them. There's more and more of them on the roads these days. And the other one I kind of looked up was helicopter. So heli, the heli part, comes from helix, which like a spiral. And the copter bit is to do with the wing. So it comes again from French. They tried to invent something that would rise in a perpendicular fashion, so perpendicular to the ground, and you get that idea of spiral with the propellers, don't you? It didn't work, this French invention, but then the name stuck when they managed to develop the helicopter as we know it today. So let's move on to a phrase which is to be a slow coach. So first of all, a coach, coach versus a bus. So a bus normally would be an urban transport, so a bus would go around a town or a city, and a coach would go for longer distances. So a coach would take you from one town to another. And we have this expression, a slow coach, just meaning a person who doesn't move very fast. Oh, come on, catch up, you slow coach. Coach, actually, the word comes from the name of a Hungarian village, apparently, which where it was first used. I don't know if that's true or not, but you can take it or leave it. So coach, yeah, you can see in the word coche in Spanish, which means a car. The stagecoach, the old, in Westerns, you would see a stagecoach, which would be a coach drawn by horses. And the stage bit is because it was like a bus, really, wasn't it? It would take passengers and it would stop in various places along the way. The old-fashioned English style of coach, coach or carriage. You can picture those from like Victorian times and prior to that as well, obviously. And if you travel coach, it's kind of more of an American English expression. Is kind of in the cheap seats. So if you're in a plane and you're traveling coach, it's the least expensive seats, the ones that don't really have any amenities. They don't have the hot towels or the nice meals or anything like that. And you can see, you know, traveling by coach was pretty basic, wasn't it? But then you also have the meaning of coach meaning a trainer, like a sports trainer. And we'll come on to this, but a trainer obviously comes from the word train. So if you think about what a coach does, the vehicle, I mean, it conveys, it carries somebody, doesn't it? And a trainer, a sports coach, is trying to carry you through your development as an athlete or as a sports person. They're kind of carrying you, they're helping you through. And so trainer, obviously, you've got the word train in there. So if we just have a quick look as well at the word train, train kind of comes from French, I think, as well, to pull or to draw behind, a trail, to drag. So you've got the idea of a train as something that drags people along, I suppose. And it's made up of carriages or coaches, isn't it? Which are all pulled along by the driving part of the train, which the name of which escapes me. And you also have the meaning of train, like the back of a dress. So maybe a wedding dress would have a very long train behind it, particularly these royal weddings, you know, they have like meters and meters of trains. Kings in the old days would have a train of their royal regalia. And it draws behind, drags behind. And you can see it in the Spanish word as well, entrenar. Entrenar is to train, as in coaching. Drawing out. If we think about drawing behind, if you train somebody, if you coach somebody, you're drawing out their abilities, whether that be educating or in sport. So kind of you can see the link, I hope. If that's made any sense. And that's more or less all. I just wanted to have a look at a couple of idioms in Spanish relating to transport. We've got, for example, para parar un tren, which literally means kind of to stop a train. Not the verb to stop, as in order to stop a train. And it means a lot. It means a great quantity of something. I think in English, we might say, I've got paperwork coming out of my ears, I think we would say in English. And in Spanish, they would say, I've got paperwork para parar un tren, that would stop a train. So imagine all of this paperwork, all of these papers, you throw them on the train tracks, and it would stop the train. Which also reminds me of something some years back, an excuse by the rail company in the UK of why the trains had stopped. And the excuse was leaves on the line. That will always stay with me. I don't know how a leaf could stop a train, but maybe there were a lot of them. I must be fair. We also have another one with a train, a todo tren. It's kind of used to say, oh, he lives the high life, to live in style. He lives a todo tren, all out, living the high life. Another one with, well, they're pretty much all with train, actually. Estar como un tren, to be like a train. So this is a weird one, but it kind of means what we would say in English, to have a face that stops traffic. So somebody who is extremely attractive. And apparently it might come from the idea of when people saw the first trains after having been used to traveling by coach, seeing the first trains, they were left kind of gasping at the beauty of these new machines and how fast they would go. And it kind of that asombro, you would say in Spanish, that amazement, the new machines, the new vehicles, and what you would, yeah, a face to stop traffic. It kind of comes from a similar idea, doesn't it? Another one which I didn't know before, so thanks to Miguel Angel for this one, como la vaca que mira al tren, which means like the cow that looks at the train, literally. And basically it means either you don't know what's going on, or you just don't care. You're kind of thinking about your own things. So something amazing could be happening in the street and you're just like, como la vaca que mira el tren. You're not even aware of what's happening. And even if you did see it, you kind of look and you're, oh, all right, and get back to whatever you were doing, which is quite a fun one. If you think of a cow kind of looking at a train, maybe they just lift up their heads and go, oh, okay, and then get back to chewing the cud. And then there was one other one, which is not with a train, it's with a bus, which again, I was not aware of before, principally because I'm not a football fan. But there is an expression in football, which is poner el autobús, to put or to place the bus. And those of you who are into football probably will be able to guess exactly what it means before I explain it. You know, when teams play another team in another city, they'll have this big team bus, team coach, to take them there. And poner el autobús is like an expression to describe a defensive tactic. So it's as if, you know, maybe the match has been going badly for a team and they decide to go completely defensive. So they kind of put a wall of players defending their goal. And it's as if they've just taken the bus that they came in and just kind of plonked the bus on the pitch so that nothing can get through, which is quite a funny one as well. So yeah, there were just a few Spanish ones I wanted to mention. I hope that's been interesting. There will be more on the blog this week, more phrases, idioms, words, not the same. Okay, so do check that out as well, espanglisha.com. Some more expressions, idioms relating to travel and transport. So I think that's all from me for today. As I say, I hope you've enjoyed, and please do continue to listen and to read. Thanks so much. Bye. Thanks so much for listening. Subscribe to the blog, espanglisha.com, for articles, short stories, links, and much more. Until next time, happy Espanglishing!